Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Strongpreneur Podcast. My name is Tom Reber, and I'm excited to have you, the Strongpreneur Nation peeps, join us today for another episode of the Strongpreneur Podcast. How many times can I say that in 30 seconds? Today, I'm excited to have a good buddy of mine for many years on the show today. His name's Art Snarzik. He's known as the Turnover Terminator, for his unique way of helping business owners, managers, entrepreneurs hire and manage only the ideal top-performing staff for their companies. The Small Business Monthly named him one of the top 100 St. Louisans. Is that how you say that, Art?
I guess it is.
All right, yeah. That you should know to succeed in business. So top 100 dudes you should know to succeed in business. That's a pretty good tag. He's been in management and hiring since 1996, the owner of a really successful painting company in the St. Louis area. He knows firsthand the hassles, the expenses, the headaches, the blood, sweat, and tears of trying to hire and develop quality people, quality employees. His consulting company is called Interview Advisors, and they help service-based businesses across North America. So people hire Art and his team to learn how to attract, hire, and retain the best employees that fit their unique companies. No longer do you need to rely on intuition, smoke signals, skewed references, and subjective work history to make hiring decisions. Art, welcome to the Strongpreneur Podcast. How you doing, man?
Great. Thanks for that nice introduction, Tom. It's great to be in the Strongpreneur Nation.
Hey, it's good to have you here. So what would you add to that intro? Anything else that that's important for us to know about Art?
Not much. That was wonderful. Thank you. I think a lot of people ask me, are you an HR guy? Are you a headhunter? And I really don't fit in those boxes. So just for clarity, I'm a hiring coach. People call me to help them build processes in their business to make sure that they hire great people and that they know what they're looking for before they go looking.
Mm-hmm. So what made you get into this whole realm of work, being a hiring coach?
It was in my my painting business. Yeah, I started in business years ago in pharmaceuticals, and I just saw the injustice of sitting down with somebody, and at that time they were twice my age, and thinking I have an hour to decide whether this guy goes home and tells his wife he has a job, and that's all on me. And who could know all that about a person? And are they the right fit for this company and for this position? Who could know that? And then, you know, in my painting business, I'd hire those guys that told me they were the best. They got their own tools. They start Tuesday. They're going to be better than all my guys. And some of them would work and some of them wouldn't. I really felt compelled to figure it out. So through some consultants, I learned some tips and tricks about people that helps me get to better employees and what was important in my business. And just fell in love with it, Tom, and love studying people and love helping people be the best they can be. So how to leverage our own assets. So I sold my painting business to do this, help other people do it.
Well, that's cool, man. So yeah, so this whole journey opened your eyes to something that you were good at.
Yeah,
and,
really.
That maybe you didn't know you were good at.
Is that fair? Yeah, it's always the way it goes, right?
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about selling your company, not so much details if you don't want to, obviously, but that journey. What did that look like? Because you know you had a pretty dang good, you know, contracting company going, and then you up and left. So what did that look like? What led to that? What was going on inside of Art's head?
It looks scary. So these consultants that helped me with my business, one of them told me, Art, I've told you for 6 years you need to do what I do. You do it better than me. And I said, you're trying to sell me something. But he convinced me that I was good at this. And you're right. My company was really good. And at the time, my wife didn't have to work. I had a one-year-old at home. And I went home and I talked to her and I said, I think I'd really enjoy that. And, you know, but I'm jeopardizing all this income and everything we've created here. And she said, you're supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. And so that was really nice to have that support and that encouragement. And it was like a roller coaster when you're sitting there and it's clicking up the hill. It's scary and exciting at the same time. I didn't know if I was going to be able to keep my wife out of work and all that stuff. But I knew I would enjoy it. I really feel like it's the first career I've chosen instead of fallen into, like so many of us do.
So I having known you for a while, I know a little bit about your personality and stuff. Would you say that you are the type of guy that's what's the word I'm looking for here? This always happens to me. Do you tend to take risks?
Am I a risk taker?
Yeah. Are you a risk taker?
I'm a calculated guy.
Yeah. So what did that, I mean, it must've been a pretty strong thing going on inside of you for you to say, I'm going to roll the dice on this thing and dump this company and move on.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And then I guess the integrity I wanted to have with my business partner, I sold to my business partner and, you know, I didn't want to just dump on him, but I just really felt compelled to do this. I am, as humbly as I can say, I'm really good at it and, I really love it. So watching other people have those aha moments that I had and then see them develop their teams into something that their business starts to run on its own, it's great stuff. So instead of growing one company, my painting company, I get to help, affect a lot of companies, and you know, there's a lot of passion there. So I said, I'm just going to go for it.
So why do so many business owners have people issues? Like, what do you see as some common things that lead to just having this problem?
I think it comes down to one thing, is because people are involved, right? So whenever there's more than one of us in a room, there's an area for conflict. And I don't know, you, especially in smaller companies, if you've got four guys and you're going to bring on the fifth, they're changing the dynamics of your company by 20%. Or, you know, so you just have to know how they're about to change your company. Mm-hmm. And I think we all try to read people. We've been doing it since we were young. I help provide some tools that help us read the right things about people and understand how we're different from those people. Maybe kind of, Tom, you and I, we're very different, right? You're a risk taker. And I'm not. I'm calculated and slower and have to have all my ducks in a row. But knowing that about you lets me appreciate you. You know, that you're going to kick down doors that I wouldn't kick down, and I'm going to, you know, fill out those expense reports and clean up the messes that you don't want to deal with, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's just about understanding the other person and understanding the value that they bring to your company. So
this whole profile stuff that you do, talk about that.
All right.
You dig in. You in your intro, we talked about we don't have to rely on like intuition and smoke signals and all this other stuff to figure out who's going to be a good fit for our company. What do you use? How reliable is it? Can you give us some a story or two of a real life situation where having a profile really helped somebody?
Oh, sure. So a couple things. How reliable is it? The science has been around for a long time. And, of course, being a detailed analytical freak like I am, I looked at 17 different companies to figure out which one I should use. And, of course, I'm biased, but I think I'm using the best stuff out there. Mm-hmm. I didn't write it. I'm not that smart, but I license it and I interpret it for people. So it's validated to 92% accuracy, test, retest. You know, there's lots of stats on that. I don't think your viewers want to hear all that garbage. How does it work? Generally, I'm going to tell you how somebody's going to behave in your business and why they act that way. What are they trying to accomplish? Also, some soft skills that you wish people would put on their resume. Like, are you good at time management? Are you good? Do you have any empathy? Planning and organizing. Do you have futuristic thinking abilities? So some of these tests tell me a lot about a person that you usually find out during that honeymoon after you hire them.
Yeah.
So real life stuff.
Yeah.
I had a client here who was trying to hire what they call a salesperson, an inside sales rep, and they kept hiring the wrong people. We liked them. They got started. 6 months later, it took us a long time to make the decision. That happens all the time, that this person wasn't working out. And so I go in there and I I said, let's get clear about the job and the roles. And we discovered this is not a salesperson. And we figured out where she was going wrong in the interview. The kind of job it was, she was more of an administrative. The sales was really just following up with the database. It wasn't like going out and having fun and meeting people. So I said, we need one of these kinds of people. Slower, introverted, likes to have everything on their desk just right, you know, doesn't like surprises. And I said, where are you screwing it up in the interview is you want to like that person during the interview. And I had to slow them down and say, the person that comes in, you're not going to like them. It's going to feel tedious dragging all this information out of them, but you're going to love them 3 months from now because they're the kind of routine person that's going to keep that system running for you.
Okay.
So, you know, just knowing stuff about people and knowing not how to not get fooled during the interview, not to fall in love with somebody unless they're right for the position. That's generally how it works in the hiring processes.
So when these profiles are done, we all have a, like you shared earlier, you and I have very different profiles. Can I change my profile? You know, if there's things I don't like, can I change it? Or am I just kind of stuck with who I am?
Good question. I get that one a lot. So it changes in two ways. Tom, you are who you are because you like being that person.
Yeah, right? But I would love to be more organized.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, there's that calculated part of you that I really respect and appreciate and see. And in myself, I know that it's really low for me.
Okay.
And so when you spot something that you necessarily don't like in your profile, I'm just curious, is it changeable? Or you know, how do you help somebody do that?
Yeah. So first, thank you. I'm glad you like and respect me. That's pretty cool. But like and respect me for those things, but if you don't have to be those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
The pain it would take for you to be like me would be so intense, you'd lose your mind, right?
Right.
So, and the pain it would take for me to be like you, to be as outgoing and really hard-hitting and just, you know, just as direct and urgent and all that stuff is really uncomfortable for me. So it can change, but it really takes some significant life event to say, I really need to do something uncomfortable that changes who I am and who I like being. And I have to do that for a long time. I see it mostly with the big stuff, like going off to war, going through an ugly divorce, you know, losing a child, things that really make you question how you're going to interact in the world. Instead of changing you, I think it's more important to say to embrace who you are and say, I like being this, so I need people around me to do those other things. Or I need to not make promises that I'll be those other things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So can they change? They can. Generally what I see is people will mellow over time. So you're a driven guy. I don't know, when you're 70, you're still going to be driven, but you're going to say, you know, how driven? I'm right. Still going to, right?
Yep.
And I'm going to be a detail, analytical, worrisome little guy all my life. But when I'm 70, I'll lighten up a little bit, right?
Thank God. So I know one of the things that I talk to business owners all the time about is getting out of their own way. And, you know, we try to take on too many things. We do everything ourselves as entrepreneurs. How does hiring the right people help you get out of your way, or how does it affect delegation?
Well, it depends on who you hire, right? So first, just make sure you're hiring for the right position. You know, I think we get in our way, and it's because we want to be all of the stuff in our business. But really, you're suited for certain pieces, and you really enjoy certain pieces. Make sure you're doing those pieces, and then have other people do those pieces you hate doing. And it's not going to feel like work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's a painting contractor that said, I need to hire a salesperson. And we talked a little bit about that and said, I need the salesperson because I'm too busy. I can't get back to the office. I don't have time to get back and do all the bids and send those out. I said, do you like doing the bids? He said, no, I like doing sales. I said, well, then doesn't it make more sense that you find somebody that could write those bids for you so you could go out and do what you love? And we ended up some aha moments came for him. So we ended up hiring him an admin assistant, and he just got back from a 2-week vacation. He doesn't worry about his business as much. It's just you know, hiring the right thing away from you is the most important thing to get out of your own way.
So how do you identify those things?
Yeah, good question. I'd say evaluate. It's going to vary by business. You need to evaluate your own business and say, what does my business need right now? Don't think a year from now. Of course, you're going to grow and it's going to evolve and change. But what does it need right now? Where does it need bolstering, or where am I kind of failing a little bit? But what does it need right now? And then ask, do I have somebody to do that, or is that me? And do I want to do that? Mm-hmm. Am I good at that? So I asked this this company owner, when we were talking about the salesperson, I asked him, if we were going to hire somebody for that position, and let's say you were the candidate, would we hire you? Would you love doing it? And he said, no, I don't want to write bids. I want to go out and meet customers, right? That's why I'm not getting the bids done in the first place. I said, good. Now that we're clear, let's go ahead and hire an admin assistant for you.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So I do this all the time when I'm on these interviews, is I'm taking notes, because there's things you're saying that make me think of cool things to ask you and stuff like that. So if I pause, everyone and out there listening, it's because I'm writing. So I need people. I have a business. Marketing's working. Sales are good. But I'm freaking out because I need people to fulfill stuff. If I'm a business owner in that situation, what's the first thing you tell somebody like that to do? What are some of the things that come to mind, first steps when you're in that sort of a situation?
Clarity. Just clarity. You said you need people to do stuff. So we just have to get really clear what kind of stuff needs to get done. Start with the what in your business. Which tasks need to get done? What needs to happen? And then when you're talking about the people, who, what kind of people are going to love doing those tasks? Somebody who doesn't have to change themselves, right? Somebody who gets to just walk in, fall in, and love doing that stuff. All right. Mm-hmm. So get clear about the what, then get clear about the who. And then the last piece is get clear about the why. Why would somebody want to come and do that work, be that kind of person doing that kind of work in your company? And they have to fit your values, right? I mean, you guys have to jive. Why would they want to leave their job to come and work for you? And so get your what down, get your who's going to love doing those what things, and then get why would they come here? Why would they want to stay here? Why would you like working with them? And then when you have all those pieces, you're pretty well armed to go out in the marketplace and say, this is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, which leads me to my next question. Like, once I'm clear on all that stuff, you know, what I hear from people all the time is they don't know where to find them. So what do you have for us on that? What kind of tips, advice?
So it depends on the market and who you're hiring, all the what stuff, right? So admin assistants, you can find in one place. Upper level management, we're going to have to go to Monster. People always tell me that they have bad luck on Craigslist. I have a couple fundamentals, and one of those is a quality job ad will attract quality people. If you can tell them what the job entails, then you'll get better caliber people, or at least people can opt out and say, I don't want that job. You've described it to me and I'm not applying, right? Let's not waste any time. But if you write a quality job ad and you explain the what and who's going to love this job and why they should come and work for you, because this is what we value and what our customers say about us, then you're going to get people who it resonates with them, right? And they want to come join your team. If you post an ad on Craigslist that says, hey, come sweep the floor for 10 bucks an hour for 40 hours a week, you're going to get people that are okay sweeping the floor for 10 bucks an hour, 40 hours a week. You tell them more about the job and why they should do it, they're going to start to get that burning. Like, hey, I think I like Tom Reber and I like what he stands for. Mm-hmm. And I think I can do what he's asking me to do. And he just described me. He just said that people who are going to love working with him are just like me. So I think not only am I going to apply, I might even follow up. I might I'm kind of excited about the opportunity. So
it sounds like it's similar to marketing.
It really is.
You know, because, you know, how many times you seen an ad or read something, you're like, hey, that's me. You know, I mean, good marketing, you know, one of the elements of good marketing is that your ideal client is going to go, yeah, that's me. I have that problem.
Excellent point.
And so I see it being a similar concept here when you're trying to hire people, is you're really marketing to the ideal employee who would look at that ad and go, that's totally me.
That's it. That's what you want to have happen. As a matter of fact, I gave a presentation last week. I was kind of training some people on this stuff, and I added this nugget. And when we're talking about a job ad, we're talking about a job advertisement, right? Mm-hmm. What is advertising? But talking to a specific group of people, right? The exact clients I want, and compelling them to do something. So that's what we're doing with this job advertisement. We're talking to the specific kind of employees that are going to love it here, and then compelling them to apply or leave their job or make them feel okay with taking a little risk to come over and talk with us.
I love it. There's been a few times in my life where I've been on the other end of that, and I've been that employee looking. And in fact, years ago, man, this is a long time. I just forgot about this till now. I got a sales job. I was going through the newspaper, of all things, years ago. And it was an estimator for a rebar company, rebar fabricator. Well, you know, my last name's Reber, so we're one letter off, man. And,
sure.
And I'm like, well, I totally have to be that guy. You know, and so I, you know, I remember I faxed over my resume, and I was totally not qualified. But what was funny is they called me like the next day, and they're like, hey, we've already got a guy nailed down, but our sales manager thinks that we need to interview you just because of your last name, because it's so close. And so anyway, I got hired. But
did you love the work?
No, not at all. So
you united with our were compelled because of the name,
right?
And that's what draw you in.
Yep.
But had they said, when you get here, Tom Rebar, you are going to have to do this kind of work and be this kind of person and work with these kinds of people, mm-hmm. it would have given you a heads up on whether that name recognition was strong enough or not to keep you for 20 years.
Yeah, it was my second real sales job in my life. Years ago, I was in my early 20s, and I, the job entailed me sitting behind a desk in these, and looking at blueprints all day. And you knowing me, you know, that's just not a good mix. So, I didn't last long there, man.
I bet. And how interesting. I think it's a good point to say that the words we use are so important, because you said that it was a sales job.
Yeah.
And in your mind, because you are who you are, sales is not sitting behind a desk looking at blueprints and sending out an estimate, right? Mm-hmm. Sales is going out and generating activity and meeting some people, and, you know, that's just your style of sales. So had they explained that better, they wouldn't have had to waste their time with you, and you wouldn't have wasted your time with them.
Yeah. So let give me three things that make a good job ad, a great job ad, that people can walk away with if they got to put one together.
Nice. So there, put some key responsibilities. What are you required to do? That's the what stuff I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. Now I want you to use some words to describe who's going to love doing it. Can I elaborate on that?
Yeah,
before I get to the third? Mm-hmm. So if I want to hire Donald Trump in your business, I'm going to use different words in your job ad than I would if I wanted to hire Mr. Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Donald, I'm going to say sky's the limit. You got no boss. You create your own destiny. End of job ad, right? He doesn't have time to read the rest. Mr. Rogers, it's going to be a longer ad. Steady work hours, benefits, no surprises, get your own cubicle, right? Just make him feel more comfortable. Mm-hmm. So describe who's going to love doing that job and use some words that are compelling to that kind of person, whether it's Donald Trump or Mr. Rogers or Robin Williams or whoever you need.
Good stuff. That totally makes sense, yeah.
Good. And then the why. The third thing is that why. You have to tell them why you exist. You want them to believe in the company before they even start. I want to work at this place because I love what they're doing in the community. or I love how they serve people, or I love that they're the best, right? You got to really, whichever motivates you and your company and what you're proud of, whatever drives you. I love them because they give me a lot of educational opportunities. We get to learn every day. But whatever it is for you, put those words in there and say, here's what we believe in. Here's what our customers say about us. Here's what a couple people who are already doing the job, here's what they're like. They're friendly and upbeat and all that stuff. And they're going to say, oh, I'm friendly and upbeat too. I can see myself there.
Yeah.
Here's the goal. Is I want the right people to apply or tell a friend. I want it to be so clear that I read this job ad and I say, this is obviously not for me, but I'll tell you what, this is for Tom Reber. Mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot him an email real quick and say, have you seen this?
Yeah.
Right? That's good marketing and advertising.
Are there any indicators when you're interviewing somebody, talking to somebody, that this person's going to make it? They're going to last? Or go the opposite. Are there any total, you know, red lights, warning signals?
I guess there are some appearance type things, or, you know, culture type things. If they come in and, you know, they just are not well put together, they're cussing, you know, those kinds of things can make you question it, unless it's okay for them to cuss when they're driving a bulldozer or whatever it is. Right.
Yeah.
So I think it really depends on the clarity of who you need there. So I'm not going to show up and give a presentation to a bunch of plumbers in my suit and tie. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that, I think it depends on the position you're hiring for. If you're hiring a manager, you know, those game changers are different than if you were hiring a laborer. So getting really clear up front so that you know when those people walk through the door, the right one just stepped through.
Yeah. So why do people leave? You know, when you hire people, they're good people. They've been with you a while. They're productive. You're happy with them. And then they all of a sudden leave. Why does that happen?
Great question. So I'm not going to spin the question. I'll give you an answer, but I challenge everybody that listens to this to ask, why would you leave? Mm-hmm. And it usually isn't, you know, those things that people tell you they're leaving for, right? Better pay, better opportunity. It's usually relationship stuff. I don't like the manager. I don't like what we're doing to clients. I don't believe in my coworkers. They're losers and I'm not, and I can't believe I would work next to them, but it's usually people stuff. There's something deeper in people and they want something more out of work. Tom, have you ever worked in a position where you you like the job, but you weren't making enough yet?
Yeah.
And you did it for a long time because you like the job?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Yep.
You might jump sooner than other people because you have an urgent style, but
sure.
Some people will stick it out because the job is right for them and they're hoping that in the future they're going to advance or whatever it is. What I find is people are usually going to start talking about, I need more money, right? When their other motivators aren't being met, mm-hmm. when they're not happy there. So it's a way of saying that I'm not happy here and I might as well get paid to put up with all this crap if I'm going to be here. But what they're saying is,
good point. Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, you know, it's so much relates back to sales and marketing. Cause on the sales side, you know, what do clients do? You know, they don't want to hire you and they blame money.
Right.
Oh, you're too much money. You know, it's kind of the easy thing to pick on, mm-hmm. you know, but usually there's an issue deeper than that. And the bottom line is they don't trust you. They don't see the value, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, they think there's a better match for them, right? Mm-hmm. But it's what we're talking about are those relationship things. I don't trust you, right? I'm not sure if you'll deliver. I don't know if you'll hold my hand through the process, or maybe you'll try to hold it too much. But it's a relationship stuff, and then they just say, it wasn't in the budget.
You know, I had a conversation with clients' top people not too long ago, and he was considering leaving. And he was really open with it about me. He was really open with it about his boss that he was going to leave or thinking about leaving. And we were in an event and We were off to the side having a beer, just me and this employee. And I just said, all right, you know, no BS. Why are you leaving? You know, I mean, you've been here a long time. And basically it came down. He's like, you know what? I make good money, but, and I like the people, but I don't feel my boss has his crap together. And this guy had a really hard time looking into the future, believing that the company was going to be around long enough. Or that if it was, that there would be a clear path to the next level for him.
Yeah.
And he didn't even know what that next level was. And so he's like, I just don't feel like we know where we're going.
Yeah, he didn't know what the next level was. Mm-hmm. And apparently they weren't providing direction or exploring that with him. Like, where do you want to go next, right? Or where do you think we should be going?
Yeah.
I think there's a hidden nugget in there, though. What's really cool is that person came and said that I'm thinking about leaving. When you get that, that takes a lot of vulnerability from someone. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, they're telling their boss who has control over their paycheck and their future that I'm thinking about dumping you. And they know that many bosses are going to dump them just when they hear that or replace them. So what that guy was actually saying is, I like it here and I wish these other things were being met. And I'm giving you an opportunity to tell me how we're going to fix that.
Yeah. Yeah, it did take a lot for him to do that. So hopefully they'll get it worked out. So I'm going to touch on a couple things here. All right, I asked you earlier what the first thing you do, first things you do when you need people. Mm-hmm. What are the first things that you do when you have a poor performer?
Good question. So, and what kind of performance are you talking?
You have an employee who's not doing his job. He's not hitting his numbers. He's not, you know, the quality's too low, whatever, just in generalities here.
Okay. Yeah. In general, what I would do is I would make sure that I'm not being subjective. I think sometimes different conditions happen in a business that make me think that those guys aren't producing. I want to make sure that they're really not producing, and it's not some bias I have, or the market tanked on this guy so it can't sell. You know, so I just want to make sure that it's not my feeling that he's not producing, that I can really measure it. Mm-hmm. Right? And then second, then it's time to talk with him. I think if you want to keep the person, then you talk with him and say, I like to manage with questions. So I like to point out the problem and then ask a question. Say, listen, things are slower, and I'm certain of that because I just made sure it wasn't my gut instinct. You paint slower or you sell less percentage this month. And then I manage with a question. What's causing that? What's getting in the way of you reaching those goals? What else do you think we could be doing, you know, that can get you back up to that place you were at? Mm-hmm. Because they're going to give you a lot of the answers that you get to manage with. But if you go in with ready-made decisions, hey, you're slower and I need you to sell more, so go network more, you may have missed the point. They might have something else going on and you miss it.
I can't tell you how many times in the past that I would say to an employee or at least think, you know, well, when I was doing that, I used to run circles around what you're doing. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. And I always sold more than the sales guys. I always produced more work than those people. When in reality, if I'm really honest with myself as a boss, I look back and I go, all right, let's look at this with 2020 vision. I probably should have fired myself four times over.
Sure.
You know, and so it's easy as an employer, as a boss, to look and have a inaccurate view of how good we think we used to be, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. And I see it a lot.
Yeah.
So and go ahead. Of course I can paint faster than anybody. If I'm thinking about the time where I had to paint that one bedroom for, you know, 2 hours, but this guy's had to do it for 40 hours a week the last, you know, 70 weeks straight. So in the heat on a ladder and all that stuff. So could I do it as faster than him at that kind of clip? And I don't know. I'm just suggesting that we get really clear about it so that we can measure it and see if we really do have a problem to address. Mm-hmm. And which problem to address? Is it that you're not going out networking and bringing in more sales? Or is it that you're not closing right? Or is it that you're not costing the jobs properly, so you're overestimating. But you got to ask them, and you got to have a conversation. It's a coaching conversation. What is happening? How do we fix it? What do you think we need to do? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you bend over and you let them, you know, choose. Well, I think we just need, you need to spend more on marketing, right? Because that's always the salesperson's answer. But to listen a little bit and figure out if there's some common ground to hit.
How do we motivate people?
With a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. that's great. Big question. So the stick is one way. There are two ways. You can external motivation, where either I'm going to tell you you're terrible and you need to get better, or threaten your job, push you, give you bonuses so that you go for the carrot. So that external motivator, or the internal motivation, and you show them that whatever it is they're wanting out of life, this job is providing for them, and this is the means to get there. And you become so entwined with them reaching their goals that they see your passion for that, that they want to work harder because they know they're getting closer and they got somebody in the fight with them.
Yeah.
So that may not come directly from the owner if you're a couple levels removed, but training your middle management or crew leaders or whatever that is, to share that with them. We want you to reach your goals, whatever those are. It could be family vacation. It could be, you know, education. Whatever those are for you, I want you to get there. But to get there, you need to produce this and that and this.
Is it our job to motivate them?
I think we have, I don't know if it's our job, but I think we have some responsibility in it. I don't think we can just expect people to show up and be motivated to build our company all on their own. Mm-hmm. I think we have to have some buy-in and some communication. And really, this might sound a little mushy. I think you just have to have a lot of interest in that person and let them know that you're interested in them and their success. And then they're going to say, sure, I'll help you build your company.
Yeah.
But some people will. You're still going to have deadbeats out there, right? There's still jerks that can't buy this stuff. And, you know, I need my $20 an hour, or you can take a hike, and I'll just sit on the clock and play on Facebook if I'm not happy. And those people got to go. I'm talking about most of the real world here.
Sure. So what, let's talk, you know, as we kind of start bringing this home, what are some things that you wish every business owner knew about building a team?
I wish they would look outside for help, because I think we're too close to it a lot of times. You know, I think we don't plan for it. So, we don't have a good strategy. We just get really busy, and then all of a sudden we're stressed out and we know we need to grow. And so let's throw an ad out there to get some people to do some things. And so have an advisor, your wife or your husband, or just somebody that can help you see the future. I think it's really important. And then to plan it and plan your growth. So get really clear about how you're going to grow.
Yeah.
So the mistake we make that I see in every industry is that from the entrepreneurial level, maybe not at the enterprise level, but is we, to some degree, we let the business grow us, right, or grow however it grows, and we just kind of hang on to that vine as it goes wherever it wants all over the lattice. But it's more fulfilling, less stressful when you get to choose how the business grows. So make time to really be strategic about it and see what your next steps are, your first next steps.
Well, that's good stuff, man. So I have one final question for you.
Okay.
This is huge.
All right. This is a big one?
Yeah.
I'm already married, Tom.
All right. over or under, which way should the toilet roll work?
Over, every time.
All
over.
Right. All right, good. Yeah, that was it, man. I seriously wanted to know how you felt about that, because in fact, you know, I met an old guy on a job site once. He was an old general contractor, and he showed up and he was all crabby. His name was Gino, and I said, Gino, what's wrong? You're crabby today. And he went on for 5 minutes about the argument him and his wife had about the toilet paper before he came over to meet me. So anyway,
yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's what he had to worry about.
Did I sound indecisive about it, Tom, or was I pretty clear?
You were like out of the gate. Like, you know, you didn't hem and haw or nothing, man. It was good.
I know, but now I'm hemming and hawing. Just for your listeners, there's one exception to this rule of over, and that's if you have cats. Right? If you have cats and they go up to an over, they're going to make a mess in the bathroom. They go up to the under, just kind of flips around. So,
of course, you've gone there, right? You've gone there in your mind. So this is a beautiful example of different types, man. This is good.
Yes, and, it is.
You know, earlier you talked about, you know, I'm the one who's going to kick down doors, and you're going to be more calculating. Well, you know, what's great about this is when you have the right team put together. You know, the guy who kicks the door in, you know, is kicking in the right door. You know, and he's got the equipment that he needs when he gets there to do the job. So,
right.
You know, we complete each other. How's that? You complete
the art. And what's I think, just to go a little bit farther, I think we have to understand each other and understand each other's assets and liabilities, because we're naturally going to drive each other nuts. I'm going to say, Tom, you go too fast. You make quick decisions that I can't keep up. And you're going to say, Art, you go too slow. Why can't we just move? And we just have to continually be conscious of the other person's strengths and be okay with it and get grounded and say, Tom's too fast a lot of times, but I like that about him. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I you know, I had a business partner that's more wired like you years ago. and what's funny is I would look at him because he wouldn't act with urgency as he didn't care. And he would look at me and be like, geez, will you slow down? You're so careless.
Right.
You know, and so it took a while to find that balance. And when we did, things got a lot better. So it is understanding that other person and seeing the value in what everybody brings to the table and all that. So, Art, if somebody's listening to this, they want to learn more about what you do and how you can help them and stuff like that. You know, how can we find you? And, you know, give us a little plug on what you're doing and how you help.
Good. So I guess Interview Advisors, INNER, viewadvisors.com. That's my website. Or search for the Turnover Terminator and read a bunch of junk and silly awards about top 100 stuff about me.
I'm just being honest.
Oh, shucks. Yeah. Yes. But really, if you or someone you know is hiring, or if you've just hired and you want an owner's manual, kind of the operator's manual for that new employee, this is when people are calling me to either help them through hiring or to make sure that they don't mess up the person that they just spent a bunch of time hiring.
Good. So interviewadvisors.com, any social channels that you want people to hit you up on?
Oh, sure. I'm on the Facebook and Terminator Art on Twitter.
All right.
LinkedIn's good as well. But really, call if you just need advice, call if you need help. And always call if you want to refer somebody, especially other people who solve business problems like Tom Reber.
All right, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you hanging out with us today. And, you know, as always, it's great talking to you. And I always learn a lot when you and I hang out and stuff like that. I look forward to connecting again soon, man.
Yeah, you too, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Go get them strongpreneurs.
All right, everybody, thanks for hanging out with the Strongpreneur Podcast today. As always, take something that you heard today and put it into practice. Don't just let it sit on the shelf and do nothing.